turn around. Now the story, yes.
A certain emir had a fine horse. There was no equal to it in the sultan's troop. Early, he rode out in the royal cavalcade. Suddenly, the Khwarizm Shah observed the horse. Its beauty and colour enraptured the king's eye. Till his return, the king's eye was following the horse.
Ah, okay. This is the opening of a story. A beautiful horse means what? Means a Lamborghini. In your time, this is 800 years ago. The king is driving a jeep, I don't know, something, and suddenly we see somebody with a Lamborghini. His eyes will follow the Lamborghini. He's the king. Okay, but, yes.
On whichever limb he let his gaze fall, each seemed to him more pleasing than the other. Besides elegance and beauty and spiritedness, God had bestowed on it exquisite qualities. Then the king's mind sought to discover what it could be that waylaid his reason, saying,
this is the way you should act. Our king suddenly will think that, what is it? What is it about this stuff that is catching my eye? I have whatever you could say, yes?
Saying, my eye is full and satisfied and wanting naught. It is illumined by 200 suns. Oh, the Rook of Kings is a pawn in my sight. A demi-horse enraptures me without any justification.
Suddenly, he understands that, look at me, I have everything. And the look of a horse suddenly will take me away. What's happening? This could happen to everyone. It's normal, isn't it? But for this king, it's not normal, because he is a good king and he will think about it. What's happening? Yes?
The creator of witchery has bewitched me. 'Tis an attraction, not the peculiar virtues of this. He recited the Fatiha and uttered many a lahol. The Fatiha increased the passion in his breast, because the Fatiha itself was drawing him on. The Fatiha is unique in drawing on and averting. If other appear, 'tis his illusion. And if other vanish from sight, 'tis his awakening.
The conclusion. This is what's happening to everyone. And he is saying the prayer. But who is saying prayer? This influenced fellow is saying the prayer. So the prayer is not that original prayer. It doesn't work, because prayer should... Where is it coming from, the prayer here? Confusion, right? The source of prayer shouldn't be confusion, should be that belief, that comfort of believing in something should come from your heart. That's what the prayer is. Blah, 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 blah. That doesn't matter what you say. What you feel matters. Here, you say, look at it. Because he understands that there should be one source for something, not two. So what is the source of this passion in him? Yes?
Then it became certain to him that the attraction was from yonder. The action of God is producing marvels at every moment.
What does it mean, using marvels at every moment? Means suddenly he realized that there is something else, because what I always see is the exceptional happening. That's what the Creator does. We'll create the exceptional stuff. So here, this is an exception. I shouldn't be attracted to a horse, but somehow he made me to look at it. Why? Yes.
Because of the probation, a stone horse, a stone cow, becomes through God's deception an object of worship.
Isn't it the fact the people, they adore a piece of stone? This is how we started our adoration. The statues were in the shape of this and that and that and that, and everybody will adore them and will appreciate them. Why? Because that feeling is in us. That feeling of adoring and appreciation is there, and we don't know what to do with it. So we put it in an object at the beginning, isn't it? Who made it? He made us do that to practice the prayer, the promising to something, hoping and wishing, and all of that. Yes?
In the eyes of the infidel, the idol has no second. The idol has neither glory nor spirituality. Mm-hmm. What is the attracting power?
Yeah. What is the attractive stuff in that statue? Imagine you are living in India. When you are even walking around, in every corner there is a statue, and everybody is with prayer and all of that. Why? Because everybody has a passion for that little piece of stone or chalk or whatever it is. Yes?
What is the attracting power hidden in the hiddenmost that shines forth in this world from the other world?
This is a place that I could refer to show it to you, that this is it. This is the humanity. Humanity is to choose something as a symbol of all the imagination and the things that is in our mind. We have to deliver it somewhere, to show it to ourselves, to relax, to live the life of the human being. Yes?
The intellect is barred, and the spirit also, from this ambush. I cannot see it. See it, you can.
If you can, see it. I cannot see it. Because this cannot understand that. This is Apple, right? We talked about this. This is for the animal, and it's not like that. Even my life, that feeling, that John which is in me, cannot understand it. If you could understand it, you could see it. See it. This is a hidden quality in human beings, and it's working. Yes.
When the Khwarizm Shah returned from his ride, he conferred with the nobles of his kingdom. Then he immediately ordered the officers to fetch the horse from that household. As fire, the party arrived. The emir, who was like a mountain, became as a piece of wool.
Did you hear it? So he came like a king and told these army people, go and bring me that horse. This is the act of a king, right? But when a king wants to grab the horse of a fellow, he's not a good king anymore. He became like nothing. Yes?
He almost expired from the anguish and defraudment. He saw no protection except the Imad al-Mulk. For the Imad al-Mulk was the foot of the banner to which every victim of injustice and everyone stricken by distress would flock for refuge.
Okay. Suddenly something is created here. Somebody named Imad al-Mulk means everybody will depend on him. It's Imad al-Mulk. So whoever is poor and have problem will look at this Imad al-Mulk. So even the king in this moment thought about Imad al-Mulk. Yes?
In sooth, there was no chief more revered than he. In the eyes of the Sultan, he was like a prophet. He was unambitious, strong-minded, devout, ascetic, one who kept vigils, and was Hatim in generosity.
Means what? First of all, that Hatim is not Hatim. It should be Hatam. And Hatam is the famous generous fellow in our stories. Okay. Now, here he will say, this fellow was what? He didn't have the greed. He was original, and he was what? Devout, and every night he's awake, and he was generous, and all of that. This is the qualities of this fellow who he brought in. King remembered that, oh, that good fellow who is doing always good. Yes?
Very felicitous in judgment, endowed with foresight and sage, his judgment had been proved in everything that he sought to attain. Generous, both in self-sacrifice and in sacrificing wealth, always seeking the sun of the invisible world, like the new moon. In his princedom, he felt strange and embarrassed. He was clad in the attributes of poverty and love. He was like a father to everyone in need. Before the Sultan, he was an intercessor and the means of averting harm. To the wicked, he was covering, like the clemency of God. His nature was opposite to created beings and apart. Many a time he would have gone alone to the mountains. The Sultan prevented him by 100 humble entreaties. If at every moment he had interceded for 100 sins, the Sultan's eye would have been abashed before him.
Okay. End of presentation. Suddenly he remembered that, no, there is a good guy. And Rumi started to count for you the goodness of the fellow. What was the goodnesses? Exactly the opposite of the act of the king here.